And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all don't talk about this show. Goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, all the way down to the loveliest little town on the plains we call Auburn, stretching across the border to what is now renamed as Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, it is time to bring in a couple of folks who mean a lot to this show. They provide so much. Sometimes you don't know what all they do because they work in the background, but then sometimes they come out to the foreground, and we like to do a little segment every single week with them. So let me do the roll call. The dynamic diva of pure punditry, the Rocket City maven of madcap mishmash, Lee from Huntsville, are you there?
Wow, I'm here. That was amazing.
Just wait for the rest. The silky smooth like hot honey, the warlord of waxing poetically, the backseat driver of prowler planes, Butters, are you there?
Excited to be here, sir.
Hit me some whoop-whoops for Butters and Lee. All right, you guys. Listen, nobody gets introduced like you guys do. Nobody. Nobody.
I love it.
If you want that in writing somewhere, I'll sign my name to it. All right. First question. Here we go. So NPR and PBS, they get billions and billions in taxpayer dollars, but they also have a real definite left-leaning bias. So here's my question for you. After the hearing they had before the Doge Committee in Congress yesterday, is it time to defund NPR and PBS? Lee, what do you say?
Yes, I definitely think that, especially NPR, because you're talking about just, you know, every single person on staff being a leftist, and this is, you know, someone pulled it up and they're all registered Democrats.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of them, not some of them, not most of them, but 100%.
Yeah, 87 people on staff, all registered Democrats, every single one of them.
Yes. So I consider that propaganda at that point. So I think for sure NPR, you know, if what they're putting out is good, then they can find, you know, people to buy ads. But there's no, and I think what we give them is something obnoxious, like $500 million or some crazy number like that.
Yeah, it's madness. And then if you added it up over the years, yeah. Wow.
But PBS, I think it could remain, but because it is a learning tool for children, and there are some people who don't have cable who can't afford it. I get it, but it's got to be balanced. You cannot have these cartoons pushing these wackadoodle, you know, political ideologies. And I think it would have to be much more centered. You'd have to have a board determining content and. That would have to be made up of a mix of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would really have to craft that to where it would not be so left-leaning. I could, but also less money. So I could take. But NPR, it just needs to go away.
So you're like, NPR, no, and then we got PBS, maybe. All right, so
yeah,
Butters, what say you, buddy? You NPR, PBS, what do you think? Keep them or let them go?
Well, have you heard of this little thing called the internet?
Yeah. How about that?
So, yeah, you know, back in the day, I can see pretty solid argument, the education side, some basic information. You know, when you've got few channels, you've got radio stations, but now, I mean, you basically have free dissemination of information. There's plenty of folks putting out educational content. You know, even on the PBS side, look, if you can't figure out, like, go get your kid on YouTube and find him some stuff to entertain, and it'll cost you nothing. If you can't figure that out, then, you know, us spending a bunch of money on PBS ain't going to help.
Wait,
so, yeah, I mean, it's definitely,
YouTube,
it's time to get rid of them.
Yeah, go ahead, Lee. What do you got?
I said, you got to be careful with YouTube, Butters. YouTube, stuff that's rated G for all audiences will shock you. You got to be careful with that.
Into the weeds on the point of the programming. My point is the need for government funded, i.e. you and me paying for them. It's just not there anymore.
So I agree with that. Here's the one argument you're going to have, Butters, against that issue is that the left is going to say not everybody has internet. And we saw this, by the way, it was real during COVID when everybody was told to go home and log in. A lot of kids lived in remote areas and did not have adequate, internet. So what do we do?
Then let's get after getting them internet.
There you go.
That will change their lives.
So take the money we were putting into NPR and put it into high speed internet for everybody.
I mean,
we're getting them Starlink or something.
You know what? That makes more sense.
Yeah, and by the way, NPR, speaking of YouTube, I'm looking at their channel because I was curious. They're not even that great at their job because they've only got 600,000 subscribers. So they must not be putting out that great information given all the other large audiences.
That's because they don't want you to get off the TV. They want you on the TV. They're trying to – don't do that. So, listen, I totally agree with you, but I think there's going to have to be some curtailing of the manner and means by which they message. I mean, we got things like, drag queens doing story hour on PBS, TV shows. What they call that? The dude called himself Little Hot Mess, and he had the book The Hips on the Drag Queen go swish, 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 and he's doing a whole show. That's got no place in a kid's network. And then, some of the subliminal messaging they stick into Sesame Street now, and then the pro-vaccine stuff they slip in. It's just it got nuts.
I think, if you go, rewind 20 years, 30 years, the differences in opinions wasn't that as varied as it is now. And you could probably come up with a little bit more mainstream middle. Everybody wasn't as crazy, but we're so crazy now. I just don't even trust them to try and figure out, it's just better to get rid of it and solve the problem a different way.
And both of them, by the way, I mean, the infrastructure is there, and they've got the United States government is only part of their funding source. They've got tons of outside benefactors. How many times have you ever seen, if you watch Sesame Street as a kid, it would say Sesame Street is brought to you by the so-and-so foundation. There's always somebody getting their name out there as being a big sponsor. I got to think that some of the, if they're that important, some of their rich benefactors would either A, step up, or B, buy them and create what they wanted to out of it because the infrastructure exists.
Now, give the taxpayers back their money and let them choose for themselves if they want to, pay Kirk Cameron to make some content for some, underprivileged kids and give it for free, then that's great. That's the way it should be done, not through the government.
All right. Point. Actually, you know what? Lee was easier on that topic than you were, Butters. Usually it's the other way around. She usually is coming in like hard, fast, and scorched earth. And I think you just laid down some rounds on that one. All right. So next question. Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, the gift that keeps on giving. So she called Texas Governor Greg Abbott is in a wheelchair. And she called him Hot Wheels, thinking that it was going to be cute and funny. And she said a lot of things, too, like somebody needs to knock Elon Musk in the head and blankety-blank this and blankety-blank that. She's Little Miss Diva. Here's my question for you. Is it time for her to be censured by Congress, or should we just let her keep on running? Butters, you first.
Let her show her true colors. Is it egregious and awful? It's crazy. And my only hope would be that you could allow her so much rope that she could hang herself that even more of the folks, left of center keep on jumping over to the right going, these people are nuts and get rid of them. If you sit down and censure them and then it's free, it just provides publicity. I think better to get the publicity of being outright ugly and ridiculous and turn more people off.
Lee, what say you, Jasmine Crockett?
I think she should be censured, but more the way she speaks on the House floor than the way that her denigrating someone in a wheelchair. I find that abhorrent. Yeah. I think she's low class. I think she's trying to pretend that she's some sort of hard ass, snapping fingers, rolling neck, eye rolling, all on business black woman, but she just comes across as a buffoon.
Yeah.
And she thinks she's coming across as tough, and she's not. But what bothers me is she's saying cuss words on the floor of the Senate, the House, and no one's, if we start doing this, if we lose decorum, where does it go from there? I just think that she should be censored for lost? That.
Yeah, in some ways it has been lost, but it's been lost on her, that's for sure.
But she's just making it worse. And I think someone needs to jerk a knot in her and say, stop acting this way. This isn't even who you really are. We know who you are. We've seen the earlier videos. We know this is all put on. Cut the crap. That's what I would tell her.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, denigrating someone in a wheelchair is sick. And she obviously has a very unenlightened mind.
Well, she is a buffoon. She beclowns herself on a regular basis. I'm of the mind that they should censor her because the House has to maintain order and decorum. They have to have accountability. Otherwise, they get into anarchy. And next thing you know, we're going to look like some third world country's parliament where they get into fistfights on the floor. And so I do think they have to censure her. At the same time, she's also the best thing going for the Republican Party right now. she's like I said, the gift that keeps on giving. Every time she opens her mouth, it's one more soundbite to help Republicans raise money.
Worried that you censure her for this, then if somehow they get control back and they start censoring because we use the wrong pronouns, because to them that's as egregious as calling somebody Hot Wheels.
I don't know they can carry that forward because the House rules still have to play, and the House rules are going to govern, and they're not going to censure for something she did in her personal life. They're going to censure under the House rules, and the House rules are not going to say anything about pronouns. So I really think that they still have room to do this.
How did we get to a point where any government body has to debate on what the definition of a woman is? So we're living in a crazy land right now.
You're changing topics now, but that's the Mad Hatter's Tea Party right there. All right, that is the end of round one of Butters and Lee. We're gonna take a break right now. We'll come right back and switch gears. I asked them the questions in round one. They ping me with questions in round two. I just hope I got an answer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're approaching the top of the second hour, and we're going to round two of Butters and Lee. This is where they ask me questions, and I just wait and see what you got. So, ladies first. Lee, what's your question?
My question's about the supplemental nutrition program, SNAP.
Yeah.
Lately, they have been people pushing to have soda removed, amongst other things, from SNAP, from being able to purchase it. People may not know this, but there's a lot of items you cannot purchase with SNAP.
That's true.
There's, a list already. So it's not without precedent, right? But I also think there's other things that should be removed from SNAP. I'm wondering what you think about this, because to me, if we're paying for someone to have money for supplemental nutrition, it should have nutrition in it.
So I don't disagree with that. When I was in the Senate, we actually started looking at where SNAP and EBT cards, could be used. And we had just taken over from the Democrats, and so we were able to get hold of some information we had not had before. And you could see like EBT cards being used in strip clubs. You could see it being used in liquor stores. You could see what it was being used for, in a variety of ways. And then also one of the biggest tricks is to go in to buy $50 worth of something and then immediately turn around and refund $25 of it. So you got $25 in cash and do whatever you want to with. And so we had to put a stop to a lot of that stuff and limit it on not being able to be used in places. We actually sanctioned certain places. You couldn't use the EBT cards. That being said, so I'm a firm believer that if the taxpayer dollar is going for something, it needs to go for what the something is. If the something is for nutrition, if it's for being able to build a well-rounded meal, if the law says that, then it needs to do that. And then you can begin to question whether soft drinks should even be included. Now, here's the other piece. I don't want the government micromanaging every calorie. I don't want the government saying, look, we're going to give you something, but boy, it's going to have so many stringers on it, you won't even know what to buy anymore. So there's a fine line here, but I am of the firm belief that the taxpayer dollar needs to have good stewardship attached to it. I just don't want the government getting so ridiculous that next thing you know, we have to use paper straws and, you know, whatever else. It's just, you know, it gets nuts at some point. So there's my long-winded answer. Did that get you?
You didn't say whether or not you thought they should remove soda.
Oh, I didn't really say. I said that I felt like we shouldn't micromanage every calorie. Sodas, I mean, no, but then again, I'm not really keen on whether we have to take those out or not. I don't think those ruin the entire diet. But if you're buying, if all you're doing is buying sodas, we got a problem.
Yeah, but that the problem is that people on SNAP buy three times as many sodas as people who buy it on their own money.
Well, then let's take some of that PBS money and re-educate them. How about that?
Amen.
I think they should be removed.
Okay. All right.
Well, in all seriousness, though, I mean, the education of nutrition in our world today is egregious. So, you know, that's not a bad idea, actually teaching people a bit about...
Which is part of the MAHA thing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I agree.
But there's YouTube, Butters. You can just go on YouTube and find 5 million cooking videos.
well, now you can, because, you know, they took Mr. Kennedy off for a long time, so...
Better run out of time here. Butters, what's your question for me?
All right. So you're telling me.
I'm telling you.
You're telling me.
I'm saying
that this group of folks that have executed government so far, and it better than anybody I've seen, accidentally lets in one dude who happens to work for a magazine or a news outlet that's very anti Trump. Into a text conversation, which, oh, by the way, those dudes, no thumbs up emojis, no, you know, liking, no just slang talk, a bunch of dudes getting ready to go kill some Houthis. And that's a crazy accident. I don't know.
So, you know, first of all, could it have been an accident? Yes. Was it a bad thing? Don't ever let it happen again. Yes. Was it mission critical TS level? No, but it was really, really sensitive, and it was probably no foreign material, no foreign, you know, entities could be allowed to. It's for your eyes only kind of stuff. But then here's the other piece. I said on the radio yesterday, I cannot help but wonder if this was a counterintelligence move. If this was an effort to see what happens if we let someone in, what will they do with the information? And then go make something of it afterwards. Or, oh, by the way, maybe clean house when you realize who they leaked to. I mean, what if they felt like they were checking to see whether or not this guy Goldberg was going to immediately call and give information to Rashida Tlaib, who was going to then call her friends in Palestine or the Houthis? I mean, it makes you wonder if this was a counterintelligence move. And you notice how there are... There's nobody seems That's panicked in the Trump administration. Now, behind closed doors, they might be freaking out.
Well, so there's so many folks that don't understand. I mean, as I understand it, which Signal came along after my time over there, or the last time I was over there.
10 seconds.
But it's used. I mean, it's used for stuff like that because of the lack of other easy equipment.
That's right. So, it's actually pre-approved and pre-installed on their government-issued phones.
And it's an extremely low-threat environment. So I'm just not buying that this was purely on accident.
I look for the counterintelligence coup to come out of this. That's what I want to know. They want to know now who Jeffrey Goldberg. You got to find out if they have a FISA warrant on Jeffrey Goldberg, and they're going to see who he called right after he got on the Signal chat. Woo, that's going to be interesting. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Butters and Lee, love you both. Thank you much. Y'all stay tuned. Hour number 3 coming up.